bit by bit, putting it together. Piece by piece, only way to make a work of art. Every moment makes a contribution, every little detail plays a part. Having just the vision's no solution, everything depends on execution. Putting it together, that's what counts.
And welcome, you're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. It's our weekly program covering art and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right here alongside with Esther Golden of The Nest.
Aloha, everyone.
And we're your hosts for Art in the Air. Hey, our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brouwer Museum and, of course, our landlord, Walt Breitinger. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building where we're housed, call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 462-5821. We'd like to thank both of them for their generous support. We always like to thank Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager.
Greg's the best.
Keeps us on the air and keeps us running and rocking and rolling here. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your art, art-related event, exhibit, appear as a guest, just email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com.
Please.
Yeah, Esther wants to know, it makes our life easier putting the arts calendar together. That's art on the air.
It just makes it more interesting, too, because that's what we want to do. We want to publicize all these shows.
Exactly. Everything that you're doing out there. So that's art on the air, wvlp@gmail.com. Hey, along with our programs, we are streaming live at wvlp.org. So if you haven't get trouble getting us over the air, you can hear us that way too. Hey, Art on the Air is rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. And also, you can hear our entire show archive. I guess you can call it a podcast. It can be heard at breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. AOTA. And something we're adding now, and it's not complete yet, but we're just starting it. On that page, you'll see a thing say arts events, and you'll see our, basically from our script, our arts events calendar. So it's not complete. It just went up last night. So every week, we're going to try to take whatever we have for our arts events, put it up there so you can review it if you missed the show. So that's it. Hey, by the way, we are also being carried by WIUN, that's IU Northwest Closed Circuit Radio Station. They are right now, don't have us a schedule time, they have us randomly on there. So we're doing that, and we're looking to expand our coverage with that. By the way, we'd like to talk about a support. You know, we're a community-based radio station, and part of that means that we are community-supported, where listeners are looking. So we're always looking for your direct support for the station. Whether you be a business, we call it an underwriter, and we don't do commercials, so to speak, but we'll thank you as an underwriter. We have different levels. We'll acknowledge you a couple times during our program, other programs. If you're interested in doing that, Esther and I would like to invite you to become an underwriter, of course, of this program, Art in the Air. But if you're interested in doing that, go to wvlp.org/support. wvlp.org/support. You know, we don't want you to just be a listener. We want you to be a supporter, underwriter, and get the great local contents on your radio station. And remember, like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good supporting WVLP and this show. Well, we'll hit the calendar now because we have a lot of stuff. Now that it's springtime, even though the rain has not indicated that, we'll do that. I'm going to start with the Porter County calendar. At Valparaiso University Center, Brouwer Museum, through May 12th, they have the Jury's Art Student Exhibition and Senior Showcase, and it should be a wonderful exhibit, but that goes out on May 12th, so you still have a chance to catch that. The Village Gallery at Pines, we have watercolorist Lee Bauman there. She's doing a symphony of color. Interesting that her husband is a symphony conductor also, so that's why the title's kind of cute. Anyway, that exhibit opened in April. It will also close in the middle of this month, May 16th, so you can go see that at the Village Gallery at the Village Pines in Valparaiso. Chesterton Arts Center, May You Have Flowers exhibition, and I got kind of a mini preview at the Board of Directors meeting I was at last night. They have an opening reception on Sunday, May 7th. Is that correct? Yeah, 2 to 4. Anyway, they'll have their exhibit, and it's going up, Mean Hung. And then, so you can see that at the reception, 2 to 4 p.m. at Chesterton Arts Center. Mac Van Der Rijn does a critique night there on the first Wednesday of each month at 7:30. So bring your artwork or half-done artwork, and Mark will give you kind and loving critiques of it. Jennifer Martin, who's the wonderful children's director of other things, will have another edition of her Cookies and Canvas. The one she has is actually Friday, May 3rd, today, if you're listening right live, and it's children from 3 to 7 can attend, from 5 to 6:30, or in older ages from 7 to 8:30. Contact them for it. They'll be doing an 8x10 garden-themed stretch canvas painting with cookies and juice. And the cost is only $10 per child, $5 if you're members of Chestnut Arts Center. By the way, check out their information. They have all classes for beginners and different kinds of all ages, 5 to 8, 6 to 9. They have a wonderful thing. And ceramics will be starting again on May 13th. So call Chestnut Arts Center. They're online or Facebook for information. Or go on the web, chesternart.com. Art Barn in Valparaiso, they're wrapping up their children's exhibit this weekend. And they're also they're getting ready for their juried art exhibition. This is the 26th one at the Art Barn. And they'll be running from May 18th through June 27th. The original painting, drawing, mixed. They'll be doing a whole bunch of things. No photography. I have to shoot that one in there because eventually we're going to educate them.
It's going to change, I think.
I know. I'm going to educate them that photography is art also. But that's my own prejudice too. By the way, they're still doing open mic nights. Their next one is toward the end of May, May 24th from 7 to 10, so they'll be doing lots of things. Duo Sequenza, Deborah Sievert, flautist, Paul Bowman, but Paul won't be here. She's actually going to appear like about 2 weeks on our show. But anyway, they are doing their concert, We've Got Rhythm, on May 8th, Wednesday, at the Memorial Opera House. And it's actually partially a fundraiser. It's going to be a cornucopia of music written for classical guitar by American composers, and they'll have a meet and greet there at 7 p.m. Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques in Chesterton. That's a relatively new gallery there. They'll be doing Paint a Sugar Skull class, you know, and it's going to be backed by Popular, 2-hour acrylic painting class taught to you by Bridget Nadolsky. We've had her on the show also. That'll be on May 17th from 6 to 8. It's $40. It's limited to 12. You have to be 16 years older. You can contact Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques on the web or also on Facebook. Dig the Dunes along the South Shore has teamed up with the Indiana Dunes Postcard. They'll be doing 24 winners for postcards and packs of 3 of 8. So kind of aimed at artists or photographers, but it has to come out as a digital piece. You can submit different shots of beaches, breweries, wineries, shops, anything in Northwest Indiana, and they'll be doing that. So you can find out information both at Dig the Dunes on their Facebook or website, and you might have your artwork in a set of postcards. Duneland Photography Club, and I went to this one at the Red Cup Cafe at their opening.
Oh, that looks so good.
It is. Excellent little group. They had 20 photographers with 62 pieces on display. The exhibit is running through the end of May. It's located in downtown Chesterton, 115 Broadway, so you can see and support this group. We've had Duneland Photography on the show. Ellen Firm Gallery will be doing egg tempera artist Kai Kasafanoff. She's been on our show too. That will be on May 10th, a reception that will go on with the other events we're going to talk about today. That'll be from 5 to 8, so get by there, see the wonderful, almost interesting work that she has done that's kind of a throwback to the Grand Masters and everything. So you can see with that at the Ellen Firm Gallery that's in Beverly Shores. So that's all we have for Porter County. What do we have in LaPorte County?
A whole bunch as well. The Thaddeus E. Gallery is located in downtown LaPorte at 822 Lincoln Way. Rush, with an exclamation point, is their season opening exhibition. The reception will be Saturday, May 11th from 5 to 8 p.m. Gallery hours are 10 to 3 p.m. Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Their telephone number is 219-326-8626. You can find them on the web at ThaddeusC.com and on Facebook, Thaddeus C. Gallery. First Friday for all of Michigan City Art Studios, hopefully, from 5 to 8 p.m., May 3rd. Michigan City Main Street Association kicks off their summer series art walk with something extra special for May. They do this May through September. So there'll be acoustic music from Dan Mosier from 5 to 6 p.m., acoustic music from Stop Drop Rewind at 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. I know they'll be on 8th Avenue. Live music from Tiger Shark Don't Quit from 6 to 6:45 p.m. And the BMX stunt show Wonder Wheels will be coming in from Valparaiso from 6:45 to 7:30 with all their ramps and do some stunt riding. It looks so fabulous. I saw the little clip. Lubesnik Center for the Arts, Nature versus Everything exhibit runs through June 8th. It features 9 contemporary artists in a new environmentally minded exhibit that explores the perilous battle between humanity and the natural world. There's also a large-scale installation in the Susan Block Gallery on the second floor. It starts with an animated video of a charcoal-drawn landscape with its inhabitants and extends into 3 colorful dimensions so that the viewer becomes part of the art. On May 8th, from 6 to 8 p.m., it's the second annual curatorial roundtable discussion. Southern Shore Art Association. The gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street. Their new exhibit opens Friday, May 3rd, 5 to 8 p.m. It's an all... Oh, except they're open at 12 already, right?
So, right, yes, they're already okay. Open at 12.
It is an all-painting show, and it's titled Patterns, Colors, Color, and Light, and it runs to June 2nd. It's oil painting, acrylic, watercolor, and pastels with color, light, or pattern as the major element. And that's the highlight for that exhibit. The gallery is open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 12 to 5 p.m. Visit their website, southernshoreartassociation.com, or their Facebook page, Southern Shore Art Association. SFC Gallery is at 607 Franklin Street, and they have an opening on May 3rd for photographer Albert George. He works exclusively with black and white film, usually medium and large format, and creates prints by hand in the darkroom using traditional printing techniques. This exhibit runs through the end of the month. Their website is sfcgallery.com, and on Facebook, SFC Gallery. I've been practicing that one.
There you go. That's a mouthful. That's for sure.
It's my tongue twister every week. Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street. On May 3rd, they open from 5 to 8 p.m. with a new exhibit titled Artists Do Artists. Have you ever wondered who inspires or influences artists? Well, stop in at Blink, and they have a whole list, a large list of artists who will be exhibiting, and it should be really interesting. And Greg Hertzlieb is one of the artists, so...
Former host of the show.
Former host, yes. The show will run through July 28th. Blink can be reached at 773-206-0426 or on the web at blinkcontemporaryart.com or on Facebook, Blink Contemporary Art. The Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 South Franklin Street will have an opening of Dorothy Graydon's work May 3rd, yay. 5 to 8. Dorothy's here with us. We can't wait to hear more in-depth on this exhibit. The exhibit is called Timeless Mysteries and runs through June 2nd. Gallery hours, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 to 4 p.m., Saturday, 10 to 6, and Sunday, 11 to 4. Telephone is 480-216-2583. Their Facebook page is The Rising Phoenix Gallery. Nest, located at 803 Franklin Street, is opening has an opening exhibit today for May 3rd, the photography of Joel Brussel, and it's titled The Somewhere Else of Being Here. The images were all taken within 4 to 5 blocks of where he lives, but they have the appearance of being otherworldly, and all the photos are taken with an iPhone. So ongoing in the Nest, we have, starting back again May 6th, weekly on Mondays will be Oil Painting Plus with Michelle Weiser. Drum Circle every second Friday of the month at 6:30. May 10th is the next one. Don Wenig of Dancing Feet Yoga is the facilitator. Every third Saturday of the month at 7 p.m. we have the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent.
Ta-da.
Yay! Captain Ambivalent as the Master of Ceremonies. This is vaudeville meets show and tell meets open mic. We're always looking for magicians, dancers, opera singers, filmmakers. If you have a talent you want to share, please reach us, reach out to us via the event page. Sign up if you're so inclined. There are also sign up spots on the spot, pending time and space. The best way to reach us is email thenestmichigancity@gmail.com or Facebook message us. We also have tickets for the Swale Music Fest in Michigan City. That's happening June 8th, Saturday from 1 to 10 p.m. I'm also looking for vendors. If you're interested in having a vendor booth, please reach out to us as well. The Michigan City merchants are having a fashion show, a fashion soiree, July 13th at the Friendship Gardens. We'll talk more about that next week. That's it for LaPorte County.
That's pretty busy in LaPorte County.
It is busy. Well,
oh my
first
goodness.
Friday is busy time.
Now we're going to move to Lake County. 119th Street Artists, they have their Under 18 show, and it's just about ready to close. You can still catch it through May 4th at the Cornerstone Art Gallery, and we're sad to report that they only have two more exhibits and they'll be done. They also will have a call for art for their June and July exhibit called Concepts and Compositions and everything. So you can contact information for right now at 119thstreetartist.org. In September and October, their very last exhibit will be Sarah Peake Comedy. She'll be closing out the gallery, and then they're going to find out what they're going to do and how they're going to move on. It's kind of sad.
You know, there's going to be some really beautiful collaborations that happen. So.
I think so. Well, I think them and the next one I'm going to read is Studio 659 in Whiting. And I think a lot of those, in fact, years ago, they were actually operating together, you know, where you could join one and have an extended membership. But I have a feeling that's what's going to happen with them. Well, at Studio 659, just down the street on 119th Street, Worn Out, Worn In, Well Worn, that show continues through May 10th, so you can still catch that. By the way, they have a call for art currently out there called Fandom, and it's like superheroes, cult classics, and underappreciated inspirations. So if you have something that fits that bill, that's kind of out of my league here for what I do in my art. But anyway, that opening reception will be May 19th, but they still have a call for art, and you can find out the information at studio659.org, or you can find them on Facebook also. South Shore Arts, well, they're starting registration for their summer classes. We won't go into all of them, but the classes begin on June 10th, so you can do that. Also, they're taking reservations for the 26th annual Bozark Ball Rock It Man. One small step for you, one giant leap for arts. That'll be on Friday, June 7th at 6 p.m. Great evening to supporting South Shore Arts and everything. In the Bachman Gallery, the 45th annual Tri-County Junior Senior High School Exhibit. Went up on April 27th, but they'll have the reception on May 5th, Sunday, May 5th, and it'll run through the 19th, and that's when they have also their award ceremony. In the Atrium Gallery, they have Kimberly Beck, Christina Kanowski, and Sue Galambas. They'll be doing their wonderful birds show of all different types of things, so you can see that. Their artist reception will be Sunday, May 26th. Toll Theater will have the art call of Wendy Wilkin, Guardia La Mia Artes. I'm not really good Spanish speaker, but I think I hit that okay. So they'll be at the Toll Theater through May, and they also have a reception there on May 3rd. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District, Camila Sanicio, Evidence of Time Spent. That opens on also on May 3rd with an opening reception. So this Friday is awfully busy. You can zip around all over the place and see things.
Everywhere.
Anyway, you can see that. Miller Beach Arts is located on Lake Street, and you can find out information there by searching for them on the web or also on Facebook. South Lake Arts Cooperative, commonly known as SLAC, have their geometry exhibit opening also on May 3rd at the Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith. And they don't have a website, but they're only found on Facebook. So it's South Lake Artist Cooperative, and you can find them. Lakeshore Community Concerts. They have the saxophone maestro Rob Verti as last of their 2018-19 concert series, and it's called Saxational, Next Generation to Perform. And that'll be at the Munster Auditorium, my former stomping grounds for 16 years. May 10th, single tickets are $30, and you can find information at lakeshoreconcerts.org. And I think that's all we have for Lake County, believe it or not.
Wow.
But still busy. So, again, if you're interested in being on the air, send us your art event. Send us your information at artontheair@wvlp.com. We're streaming at wvlp.org. And you can also hear us at WIUN, which is IUN Northwest, close circuit station. So now we're going to move on to our wonderful guests. Today we're going to be talking about the 5x5 Depot and Museum, but we also have returning to us is Dorothy Graydon, artist extraordinaire and everything, does lots of different things. She is a contemporary artist, and she's inspired by ancient visions. And sometimes I look at her stuff and say, wow, what kind of visions do you have at night? So along with her is Susie Vance. She's a fiber artist who paints. I love that description and everything. And she's been raised in the Midwest. And we'll first talk to Susie a little bit about her background and everything, and then move on to things. So Susie, first tell us a little bit about where you're from and how you got here.
Well, I was actually born in Reno. But
okay.
Early in my life, I moved to Ohio, where I was raised in Oberlin. And my mother was one of those people who was a multitasker. She did everything. And so I learned at her knee at the age of 12 to knit. And that was the beginning of my fiber experience. I rejected the fiber experience and a lot of my inclinations toward art for a long time, probably thinking that I should have been a man since I was the first born in my household. I became a lawyer eventually, and then as life weaves its way, I eventually decided that the law wasn't for me and decided to reject the courtroom. But I took with it all the things that I really liked about the practice of law, which was the people. because my practice was husbands, wives, and children, and employers and employees who were divorcing each other. And that led me into being a life coach. But with all the trauma and drama that goes with that, I needed a place to explore myself. And by then I had gotten into weaving, I had gotten into spinning, and one day I got an experience about felting, and it so blew me away that I invited the person who was teaching the class to come to my house, and she spent 3 hours with me, not doing anything except telling me what to do. And then you know how it is when you try out new things, you get so freaked out, you think, oh my God, I can't do this. And so I didn't do anything for a while. And then I went with my husband on a journey through the Grand Canyon and other magical places like that. And I couldn't help myself. I came home and I did 3 pieces. And then it just has grown since then. I call my art Fiber Paintings. And my website is at fiberpaintings.com.
I'd like to go back to something you said about being a lawyer. I think in your bio you talked about being going before the Supreme Court. And so just off art for a minute, I found that very fascinating. So tell us just a little bit about that.
Oh, arguing before the Supreme Court, which I did successfully, I remember that I showed up the day before because I was nervous, actually 2 days before. And the day that I showed up, I went and watched, and it was a little nerve-wracking. I sat in the attorney's area. The next day, I practiced like crazy, standing in front of a mirror or going to the bathroom. That night, I was what they call, I had like 20 people come and brainstorm with me and push me and pull me. And so I thought I was ready, you know, calm, cool, and collected. I did wake up the next morning late because the alarms we set didn't go off because the electricity went down. And I made my way to the Supreme Court, and then you walk in. And do you remember what it was like when you were a kid and you sucked on your finger and then put it in a little Kool-Aid? Do you remember the taste of that? It's like, oh my God. And that's what it was like watching the justices come through. But it was a delightful conversation. It was one of the most engaging intellectual conversations I've ever had.
Yeah. Like at the appellate level and that level, it's a different kind of argument than you are at the trial level. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not trying to outsmart anybody.
Right. You're just presenting. So very good. Well, we'll move to Dorothy. She's been on the show before, Dorothy Graydon. And so tell us a little bit about we have you on the archive in our shows. But, yeah, tell our current audience a little bit about you.
Oh, okay. Well, I also sort of work with fiber. I make my own paper from cotton, so it is a fiber. In fact, I have actually washed my pictures off of the cotton paper sometimes and started from scratch. But my inspiration comes from, I hike out west, and I've been doing that for 30 years, and I go to rock art sites, which are sites that are petroglyphs and pictographs out in the canyons and the boulders, out in, anywhere. I've hiked everywhere from the Rio Grande all the way up into central Montana. And just last Saturday, I got back from a trip to Utah. I was camping and tent camping.
Brave woman.
Oh, my God. For 9 days with some other friends of mine. And It was a very interesting and kind of a trying experience because the weather didn't really cooperate with us too much. We got snowed on, we got hailed on. We woke up one morning and there was ice covering our tent. The hail actually collapsed our tent one day. So
a true camping experience.
Yes, a true camping experience. They call it dry camping because there's no water anywhere because we were in the desert. So, but it was really fun. I saw some amazing petroglyph sites, some amazing pictograph sites. We did major hiking up to some of the sites, and really the site itself is just as important as the carvings on the wall, if not more important. Because these people, you know, 1,000 years ago chose this one panel to do their art on. And a lot of it is shamanic. Some of it, most of it, you can't really interpret it. I was with three Hopi people who are friends of mine. And sometimes I'll say, well, what does this one mean? And they'll say, can't tell you, you know, because they are still using the images today in their Kachina dances and their prayers and their ceremonies. So, but I still love being there. It's the mystery of it, I think, that pulls me in. It's fascinating and mystical and
the
interesting
energy of the place too.
Oh, there's so much energy, yeah. And each site has its own energy. Mm-hmm. Some seem sad. Some seem very powerful. Some mm-hmm. seem like they were doing rituals there. Mm-hmm. So, they've chosen such unusual places to put their carvings that you look around. I turn around and look out to see what their view was, because their view was probably very similar to the view that I have. You know, the rocks don't change that much in 1,000 years, so the views are just spectacular. Mm-hmm.
You have an exhibit coming up, which we talked about briefly in our arts events. Tell us a little bit about that.
I do. Down the street from the Lebesnik, actually, on Franklin, I think it's 2803 Franklin Street.
A little hike from the Lebesnik.
A little bit of a hike. You have to drive there. You have to drive there from the Nest too. But it's Timeless Mysteries, and I have some new works there that I haven't shown before, which I'm really excited about. And it's called Rising Phoenix Gallery. So come
and it's
tonight.
It's so charming, and Nora and John are just spectacular people.
Are. They are. Yeah. They really are. I dropped everything off 2 days ago, and they've already got it up. So I'm really excited about it. I have cards there, and I have some zines. I made a zine this year for the first time, and it was a lot of fun.
I'm going to have to get into zines. I see that George Castle stopped by the house mm-hmm. yesterday to pick up things from the last exhibit for the area artists, and he dropped off a few zines, and I said, you know, this is something I think I should get into. So
yeah, they would go really well with what you do, the zines.
You're also at Promise You Art House in Highland?
I am. I'm at Promise You Art House. The name of the show is Glow. And it's Glow from the ground up, and they asked three artists to participate in it, and I was one of the artists, and the show is extremely colorful. I think if anybody went there, it's on Kennedy Avenue in Highland.
Yeah, just south of downtown.
Yes, it is, and it's a really beautiful show. It was a lot of fun participating in it.
Just almost across from Vito's Pharmacy there, that used to be a bowling alley. So, so Susie, tell us a little bit about your work, you know, where you're on exhibit and things like that.
I have been on exhibit a number of places over the years. I'm not on exhibit right now. I have an exhibit coming up with 36 pieces in Grand Rapids, beginning in August, lasting till October. I do have a permanent collection that rotates at Berkshire Hathaway in Michigan City, which is, I think, 617 Franklin. What really happens with my art is that the fiber of the animals, I don't think the hair on your head ever dies. I think that there's always energy in it, and energy dying to be expressed perhaps in a different way. And the energy of the fibers from the animals that I use, I start a piece by asking what it would like, and put a little here, it says, and put a little there. And you just never know. And all of my pieces have changed and sort of evolved. I, too, am into using paper. I embed fiber in paper when I make my handmade paper. And so there you have it.
It's fantastic. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. It's our weekly show. We're also being heard on WIUN Red Hawk Radio in their closed circuit radio. So, again, if you're interested in being in the show, Art on the Air, WVLP at gmail.com. So, one of the things we want to talk about is, of course, the upcoming exhibit and, of course, the depot. So, let's talk a little bit about the Depot, first of all, in general, like what it is, where it is? And
well, the Depot is basically at the intersection of Broadway and Route 12 in Beverly Shores. It's just behind the gas station that's there. It's in an old train depot that's owned by NICTI, the Northern Indiana Commuter Transportation District. And that little building houses two major enterprises, one of which is a gallery and the other of which is a museum. The museum is there because for years it has, in 1988, there were, if you can believe it, two railroad stations in Beverly Shores.
Okay.
And one absolutely was torn down overnight. And the town rose up, particularly Carol Ruzick did, and organized all of the people to make that sure that wouldn't happen with the second one. And they got it, the second one, which is now the Depot, put on the federal list of national historic places. And so they couldn't tear it down. And then they raised, over the next 10 years, $500,000 in order to restore it to its pristine condition. It's the only one left on the South Shore line. And the museum has usually, actually, more exhibits than most historical museums around Northwest Indiana every year. It has three this year, and one of them is all of the Bartlett houses that we know so well in Beverly Shores that were designed by Bartlett when he had the vision of what Beverly Shores was going to be. We've had exhibits like Gone But Not Forgotten, exhibits of all of the houses that were along the lakefront that
were destroyed. I remember seeing that. That was fascinating.
And we do have a zine that's coming out shortly in honor of those houses. So the museum is really quite significant. Right now, there is a veterans exhibit. That happens every year because we honor all the veterans in town and in the area. On the other side of the building is the gallery, and we have six or seven exhibits every year. It runs from the beginning of May until the end of October, not to mention our November major fundraiser that happens when we have artists who come and sell things to wear and things to see. And right now we have what's called the 5x5 exhibit, which is our major fundraiser of the year. Every artist, and there are 60 of them, who have donated pieces to the art to support the Depot, bring their little pieces, which are 5 inches by 5 inches, and patrons can buy tickets, claim tickets, and on the day, which is next Saturday night,
that's
on the
May 10th, yeah.
You take your claim ticket, and when the doors open, and they don't open for you to browse ahead of time, they open at 5 o'clock, you take your claim ticket, you can buy tickets that day too,
right.
And you put your claim on the piece that you want, or pieces if you've bought more than one, and that's yours. Nobody else can claim it. And those tickets are $55, another 5x5 item. And it's been a very successful thing for us. It's 137 pieces this year. So I think
Does everything get claimed?
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
No leftovers.
Nope.
I know I had 5 pieces in last year. This year I did 2 because they ran out of frames for photography. Karen said, I can't find it. And I happened to buy some 5x5 frames because I actually now, after that show, did some 5x5s that I put in other gift shops.
Yes.
But, she said, I don't have any frames. They're gone. I can't find them. And I know it's difficult because I had to get them from China. Unless you want to pay a huge amount of money. I mean,
Amazon has them. I've bought them fairly inexpensively.
Well, yeah, but those are the ones from China.
I know.
So you have to order them like way in advance because they get boated over here. But anyway, I got 2 pieces in the 5x5 piece of it. So how many pieces do you have in?
I have 3 pieces, but okay. SFC made my frames because I needed space. Uh-huh. And they couldn't be flat.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Do you have any pieces in the show?
Yeah, I have a piece in the show. And there were a couple pieces that I told Karen Brown, who is the curator at the show, for the show, and she works really hard to put this show together. Uh-huh. And I told her, I said, I really want this piece, and I really want that piece. And I don't know what the pieces look like, except that she's been posting some of them on Facebook. And she said, well, she said, there are a few pieces, probably about 10, that are becoming so popular that she's going to put them behind a curtain, and you have to buy a lottery ticket to actually
fundraiser.
To get one of these pieces, right. Because they're, I mean, I'm not going to tell you whose I want, because but it's pretty exciting to think that this show is so popular that she has to hide pieces behind a cloth. Yeah, it really is.
Last year there was a long line,
I remember,
an hour and a half in advance. People brought their chairs to sit and wait.
I was in it.
I remember seeing that. It was really, it's really also a community event. Everyone comes out for it from not only Beverly Shores, but from all over the area.
Right.
So it's just lots of energy and everything like that going on. Hey, there's another aspect about Depot with a young lady who runs the gift shop.
Irene.
You know, she's a real ambassador for not only Beverly Shores or the area, but the gift shop. So let's talk a little about what's in the gift shop. I mean, I know I have stuff in the gift shop, but let's you talk about it.
Well, all kinds of things are in the gift shop. A little Dorothy, a little Larry, a little Susie, a little Karen, a little anybody who, and I think actually John from the Phoenix Gallery has a couple of his glass pieces. It's glass, wood, metal, zines, you name it. There is
Larry Jensen, do you have any
stuff?
Lars stuff?
Larry, yeah, he might, yes. Although, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot, and there's also books available.
Yeah.
You know, about the history of the area and everything like
and
that.
And soon to be a gone but not forgotten book.
All right, excellent. Yeah, we even the one about the homes that were from the Century of Progress. With we had Robin on and everything.
Show.
Yeah, we had them on the show. But yeah, you can get things like that. And I remember when I was there one time, and some cyclists came. They came on the South Shore, and they were looking around. Uh-huh. And I just happened to be there, I think, dropping some stuff at the gift shop. And Irene is just such a good ambassador for the whole area, and just love her talking about how exciting it is and everything. So
she's fabulous.
Mm-hmm,
she is.
She walked around with one of my scarves on one day. And somebody walked in and said, I want that scarf. She's a great model, too.
Well, I told her sometime we have to get her on the show, too. But she's always busy on the weekends, because she's there Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. So so anyway. So now, where you live in Beverly Shores? Or?
I am blessed to live in paradise.
All right.
Do you live only about a block from Esther.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And you live in Valparaiso?
I live in Valparaiso.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So when we talked a little bit about your art, Susie, now you don't have anything currently on exhibit, but describe...
Except at Berkshire
Hathaway. Berkshire Hathaway. Talk about your process a little bit. You know,
okay. It's a little unusual. When we were redoing our house and having the roof redone and putting on gutters, I asked the gutter people if they could make me gutters for around a large table, which they did. And so now I have a space I can work on where, even though I have wooden floors, I don't have to worry about water. So I literally, this is for the fiber stuff, not for the paper making, but I take a piece of bubble wrap, pretty large, and then I take a piece of netting, and then I lay out the fiber, however it is that I'm going to, probably 4, maybe 5 layers, depending on how I want my quote-unquote canvas to be. And it's usually all one color to begin with. And then I play. I do what comes to me on top of that in terms of using other fibers. And when I'm ready, which can be any place from a day to 5 weeks, and I finally have the courage, I put another piece of netting over the top, and then I go get some hot soapy water, and I come in and I pour the hot soapy water over everything, massage it. I don't usually beat it up so much that it becomes really thick and tight felt, there's usually some air left in the fibers. And then I might add other found objects, if you will, that kind of thing. But I need to let it dry. And sometimes I'm not quite satisfied with it, and so I tear it up and start again or whatever. But it's always surprising what ends up on the palette, so to speak. What the final product is, I can never predict it.
Wow. Now, do you teach any classes?
Occasionally I do, yeah.
Do you do that in your home?
Right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it's kind of a unique space to do that in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Dorothy, when how often do you make papers still? I know you go to Andrea Peterson's Hook Pottery and Paper to make the paper.
Yeah.
I love the recent stuff that you've done where you're doing the painting with the pulp.
Didn't right, the yes. painting with the pulp. You know, mm-hmm. when I'm at Andrea's, in fact, I'll be there 3 days this July, mm-hmm. 3 days in a row.
So lucky.
So I really enjoy it. But people don't realize it, but each piece that I make has at least 6 layers of cotton pulp, colored pulp on it, mm-hmm. because I try and recreate the walls, the canyon walls that I see when I'm out west. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the walls are made of all these different kinds of sandstone and limestone, and mm-hmm. and they're not solid. They're not a solid color. So I try and recreate those colors that I see into my paper, and it just takes layers and layers yeah. and layers of color to do
and
that.
And watching the evolution, though, because before you would just make the paper and then you would do your drawings on it, but now you're actually mm-hmm. layering and creating with the paper. It's been a beautiful evolution to
Thank
watch.
Thank you. Yeah, it has been. I have been doing a little bit different yeah. things lately.
Each time. Mm-hmm. Each time yeah, there's like a huge amount of growth and change.
Well, yeah. each picture is like what Susie does. Mm-hmm. It's an evolution. I have this concept when I start it. Maybe a site that I visited, the way I felt about that site and what images were at that site out west in Utah or Colorado or anywhere like that. And then I start putting those images and mixing them in with the paper. So it's a constant process. I don't really know what it's going to look like when it's done. Sometimes I get halfway through and I'm screaming around the house that I don't know what to do next, you know. But it always comes out. It's just, you know, you just have to really think about it.
The symbols and complexity, because I remember those first drawings, you know, it was like the white background and then your very intricate drawing. But
yes.
Now you've created worlds and upon worlds uh-huh. upon worlds. It's just so beautiful and complicated mm-hmm.
Thank
and gorgeous.
You. Well, that's the way they are when I see them. You know, I'll see, when I'm standing at a site, I'll see the most recent images, and then the longer you look at a site, you start seeing the images that were done 500 years before that, and then 1,000 years before that, and then 5,000 years before that. And it's just so hard to believe that these images are in our country, right? Mm-hmm. And I've seen images that are 13,000 years old. It's just so fascinating just to be at these places.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I know when I first saw them, I just couldn't believe they were real because they'd only been in books before. But now here they are. It's
yes.
amazing that you can go to Utah and see them or go mm-hmm. to Nevada and see them.
Mm-hmm. And I want to bring these images to people today, you know, so they can appreciate and hopefully help save some of these ancient places.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You told us about a story the last time you were here, and I always find it fascinating that you actually made an archaeological find when you were on one of your trips.
Well, we've kind of done that a couple times.
I also think that each image that you do, which is an interpretation in a sense of something that you've seen,
mm-hmm.
it has a power in its own right of carrying forward what was in the past to now. And when, have you ever seen the movie Water for Chocolate?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wonderful story about the energy of the person inputs the energy into the food, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody feels the energy and responds without knowing it. And I think that's what happens when people see your work.
Yeah, I've gotten comments like that from people, mm-hmm. and a lot of times their interpretations of my work are coming from their souls.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that's wonderful that they're connecting with mm-hmm. it, even in a different way than I connect with it, mm-hmm. but they are connecting with it in their own way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVP 103.1 FM. We have Dorothy Graydon today and Susie Vance. They're our guests today on Art on the Air. And again, if you're interested in being on Art on the Air or contacting us, it's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Also heard on WIUN Red Hawk Radio. So, well, back to 5x5 exhibit. I guess today is an important day, May 3rd.
Oh, yes.
Because the tickets are
on sale.
Yes.
Beginning at 11 o'clock this morning.
So you know, don't be square and get there, because there's a limited number of tickets, because there's only one ticket per piece.
That's right. There are 137 tickets, and they go on sale 11 o'clock this morning, and the gallery is open to sell the tickets, not to see the items,
right,
between 11 and 3 today, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then, of course, you can get them next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well.
So
not Sunday, Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday night, you claim your item.
Right. So you can see the lovely little Irene Brown there to pick up your ticket. $55, and they do take credit cards there.
Oh, yes.
MasterCard, Visa, American Express, or Discover, or a check, or, of course, cash is always king. So.
Cash is welcome.
Very good. So do you know who are some of the artists we might see at the 5x5?
Well, Dorothy and Karen, and I have some pieces there, but there are just...
Connie Castle, I think I saw something by
her.
And
people from the Area Artists Association,
It's a very well-supported event then.
Yes.
Yes. So.
And we really do need to thank all the artists, because they give their art for free. It's really a major donation from them.
So, living in Beverly Shores, how long have you lived there, and how did you get there?
I got there because way back when, my husband was in high school, and he rode for a guy named Erickson, who was the first person. Do you remember Jim Moran, the courtesy man?
I know the name,
to remember that. He was a car salesman in Chicago.
Okay. Yep.
And he sponsored a swim and offered $3,600 to any swimmer that could make it from Chicago to Michigan City. He sponsored the race every year. And it had gone on for years, and nobody had ever made it. Tim was a lifeguard in Chicago on the beaches, and they asked him to be one of the rowers for Ted Erickson. And Ted Erickson made it.
Wow.
And when he made it, he swam along the coast in Beverly Shores, and Tim looked up and said, "Where am I?" And that was his first sight. And ever since then, he's been fascinated with the dunes. And I first came to the dunes not until the early 70s, but we used to hang out there, and eventually in 1976, when we got married, we bought some property, I hate to tell you how cheaply, in Beverly Shores, and built a house that we finished building in 1978. And we've been there full-time only since the early 90s.
Very good. So you're living right in the heart of what Duneland, actually.
In the heart of the Indiana Dunes.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that wonderful? So what do you have plans for future projects? Anything on the horizon?
Well, my project for Grand Rapids is definitely on my mind. And I'm trying to follow Dorothy's example. She tells me every day she has to be in her studio working hard. And you do. Mm-hmm. If you want to create, you have to keep your feet to the fire, which was actually one of the first pieces I did and sold.
Excellent. And what organizations are you involved in?
Dunes Women's Club, Beverly Shores, ABSR, Association of Beverly Shores Residents, Area Artists, Southern Shore Art Association. It goes on.
It goes on.
Yeah.
And you, Dorothy. What organizations are you in?
Oh, I'm in the Area Artists Association as well. CAC, which is the Chicago Artists Coalition, or I'm not quite sure it's CAC. It. Is that it?
Yeah.
I'm a member there. And then, you know, I just pick up galleries here and there. You know, I've got a show coming up in at the Chase Bank in Maryville.
8585 Broadway.
8585 Broadway. I've been there before, but I have new works to show. And so Lori Salters, the manager there, called and asked if I would come in with another show in July. And then I have a show coming up in 2020, actually, from September to November at the Cultural Center in Chicago.
Okay.
And it's on the corner of Randolph and Michigan Avenue. It used to be the old library in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so I've got a show coming up there not this fall, but next fall. They book pretty far ahead.
That's
they
true.
Do.
Yeah, they do. So, you know, South Shore Arts, I belong there, and and Chesterton Art Gallery, and, you know, the Box Factory and St. Joe, Michigan. So they're just...
Things. You're all over the
There's
place.
There's so much art everywhere in this area. It's just, it's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
You know, it's interesting, Northwest Indiana, and I use this example often, is that if you transplanted us away from Chicago, we'd be about the size of Indianapolis. So, I mean, we have a really vibrant arts community, but many times it's not recognized because people tend to look to the city as the major form of art. And, you know, you have all these galleries throughout Northwest Indiana and major art galleries, too, happening. Back to the little bit of history of the Depot. Now, it was designed by an architect.
I can't remember his name. You have to look
at Arthur Gerber in 1929. So.
Right.
Wow.
And it had a station master for a very, very long time. And then she died into disrepair.
That was her house, though, as well.
That's where she lived. Right.
Kind of like how lighthouses gallery. Work then.
Exactly. And she ran the Depot for years. And then after she died, and the NCDI decided they didn't want to have these buildings anymore, they wanted to just have a little covered area where people would wait, they started tearing them down. And when they tore the one down at Central Street in Beverly Shores, Carol Ruzick said, "Not on my watch."
Excellent.
And
she's a powerhouse.
She actually collaborated with Dale Inquist at the time, I think it was, to save that building by getting it on the National Register.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful little building. If you've never been there along 12, it's just, I know I took an evening sunset photo of it and that I have exhibit. In fact, I think I had it in maybe last year's 5x5. It's a beautiful little building. And it's kind of nostalgic, a part of, you know, some of the nostalgia of Northwest Indiana is lost. But if you go along 12, there's still little pieces like the old-fashioned motels and things like that are there. So.
And it's fun to have a museum that really is a treasure in Northwest Indiana. It tells a lot of the story of Northwest Indiana. And Karen has really done a lot to make the gallery, I think, a regional art gallery, not just a local place.
It's excellent. Well, with the Depot, we want to just recap that. So today the tickets go on sale.
Right, and, $55
a piece. $55, and they'll take any kind of payment. In fact, they'll just take your credit card and charge it up to the limit and send it back to you, and you can buy all the pieces. No kidding. And the event opens on?
The 10th at 5 o'clock in the evening. You can get there anytime you want and wait in line. The gallery or the museum doors will open at 3 o'clock, but the curtain won't be drawn in the gallery until 5.
And last year they had someone postmarking things. Are they going to do that again this year?
I don't think so. That was the 20th anniversary.
Okay.
We postmarked all kinds of postcards for people, which was really fun.
Right there.
In honor of the 20th.
Excellent.
I'd like to add, too, the snacks that they have there.
Oh, the Dunes
are
Women's
plentiful.
Club
yes.
provides the snacks at the 5x5.
Yeah.
They do. There's There's plenty to go around.
It's a bountiful feast is what it is. So.
Well, yeah, and it's a great event. And also it's a great time to meet the artists because a lot of the artists are there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get out and meet the artists, it's a wonderful event that way. And you're supporting this great little building that just really has a, though its capacity is small, has a great influence in the area.
And Carol Ruzick will be there, and we can all say thank you.
It's for saving that building. Fantastic. So any final thoughts here that you have? Dorothy?
Oh, I would just say definitely go to the 5x5. It was so much fun last year. Uh-huh. And, you know, I got to meet artists that I've seen their work before.
Right.
But I didn't really, or they might even be Facebook friends of mine.
Right.
And I hadn't met them in person, and that was right. A lot of fun. That really was. I would recommend it for anybody to go.
Yeah.
Well, there actually is a Facebook page specifically for the exhibit.
Yes,
it's,
there is.
5x5 Depot. I think that's what it is on Facebook. 5x5.
And there is a. It's called the Depot MAG. Which is the .org, which is the website for the gallery.
Now, let's say we have some artists listening to the show, they're interested in exhibiting, who would they contact or how would they contact?
Happy to contact me since I happen to know my phone number, 219-229-1483.
Say that once more again.
219-229-1483 or go on to thedepotmag.org and let us give us your information, and we'll contact you next year.
Very good. And what other exhibits do we have coming up after 5x5 is gone?
Oh, you asked me that, and I'm so sorry. I'm blanking.
But you can find out about that on the website,
yes,
on the Facebook page.
Yes, and I know that one of the interesting ones that I do know about is one where Karen is working with a weaver, and he is making clothing and she is doing glasswork, and his clothing is based on the colors in her glass making. It's going to be a collaborative effort, which is just really going to be spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I hope we have a good turnout. I know I'm going to be there to view things and everything. It's an exciting event to be there and see all the synergy that's there as you go see mm-hmm. the exhibit. And also tonight's May 3rd is the first Friday, so we're starting that up. I mean, this is the real first Friday when things really start happening in Michigan City and all around the area.
It's not raining.
Yes. It's finally going to be dry and everything. So that's.
I hope so. Otherwise, that the BMX, it's kind of important that it's dry.
Right. So
all the acoustic musicians.
You can land at the Nest and see all the other new exhibits all up and down the street there.
I'll be rushing there to go wash the floors right after
here. I remember. and also at Lebesnik, I stopped to see that exhibit a couple of days ago, and I saw Tom Turner's those big pieces along the wall there.
Yes,
oh my
spectacular.
Gosh. It's mm-hmm. you know, it's each one individual, each panel. I think the panels are like 4x8 a piece.
Right.
But I mean, there's multiple panels all along the wall. It was just absolutely so impressive, and yeah, it's really storytelling there. So,
also speaking of the video that's upstairs,
okay,
be sure you go upstairs to see the video. I was giving a tour to second graders a couple days ago, and I told them they would have to watch the video 3 times, because it's only 2 minutes long. And they swore up and down that the video. I kept changing the video. Because every time they watched it, they saw something different. And they wouldn't believe me. I said, cross my heart, I promise, you're seeing the same video over and over again. They're like, no, no, no. This wasn't in it the first time, you know. Mm. So it's really, if you do go, make sure you watch the video at least 3 times.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up here today. You've been listening to Art in the Air, Susie Vance and Dorothy Graydon, and the 5x5 exhibit. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m., where your hosts Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, our manager here at the station. If you're interested, again, being a guest on the show, you can go to artontheair@gmail.org. Next week, we have author Janet Buchner, right?
Buchner, yes.
Yes, and she'll be our guest next week. So we'll see you right here on 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone.
Ounce by ounce, putting it together. Small amounts, adding up to make a work of art. First of all, you need a good foundation. Otherwise, it's risky from the start. Takes a lot of earnest conversation.
But without the proper preparation,
having just the vision's no solution.
Everything depends on execution.
art of making art is putting it together, bit by bit,
note by note, working on projection, lips, teeth, throat, looking for a moment to inhale, keeping the emotional connection even when your fellow actors fail,
pointing up the subtext by inflection,
helping a director reach perfection,
even though you have a strong objection to the way she's handling the direction.
Art isn't easy. Every minor detail is a major decision. Have to keep things in scale. Have to hold to your vision.
Even when you're feeling apprehensive that you're looking bland and inoffensive,
and you wish your wardrobe was extensive,
don't forget that spangles are expensive.